Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, June is LGBTQ Pride Month, and this weekend is Capital Pride time. It's a celebration of liberations and embracing self-love. Still, it is often an uphill climb for those in the LGBTQ community, whether it's coming out to family and friends or treatment in the workplace, housing, even church. Tonight, we'll speak with leaders in the LGBTQ community about those issues and more. Joining us tonight in studio is Ashley Smith, president of Capital Pride Alliance, Amanda Tuck, LGBTQ activist, and Shaquita Lee, a drag queen and female impersonator. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you, your questions, your comments, anything that will further this conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'll go left to right. Ashley Smith, Capital Pride Week. June is LGBTQ Pride Month. Tell me what that is all about and how important the awareness and the emphasis on that this week and the whole month.
Well, I will first start off and say that thank you for having us and having this very important conversation. I think that when we talk about June being Pride Month, it is a celebration of the members of the LGBTQ community and what is the struggle that has taken for us to get to the place that we are today. But celebrating Pride is not something that happens just in June. As many of you know, we started celebrating Pride actually last month in many different other Pride celebrations, such as Trans Pride, API Pride, Black Pride, Latinx Pride started last month as well, and is still going on. So Pride really truly is about being all year long. And we focus on it this month, and it's important because we need to make sure that people are aware of those members of our community who are looking for a safe space where they can be able to be a part of the community and live their life freely and live their lives authentically. And so many times throughout the course of the rest of the year, you don't have that opportunity. So this is the one time of year that that happens. But that doesn't mean that those youth out there or those seniors or those who are in the middle age who are struggling and coming out, they still should be able to come out and they still should be able to be free. So yes, we celebrated in June, but there's so much more to our celebration year-round.
Shaquita Lee, is that still an issue, coming out, having a safe space? Do you feel as if you have a safe space?
Right now, it's very hard in the D.C. area, metropolitan area, because so many of the gay clubs have closed. And so by me being a female impersonator or entertainer, there's less venues for us to perform or to have a place that we can call a safe space. And so right now in the D.C. area, it's very hard for female impersonators and transgender people to have places to a safe place to perform in.
And so how do you handle that? What do you do?
Well, as far as myself, the way I handle it, I got my own business. I open up a pop-up restaurant, which is Quita's Palace at the Chateau Remix, and I employ female impersonators and male entertainers and giving them a safe space to entertain and work and not be sex workers or work in the streets or anything like that. So I've opened my doors and I've hired a few of the trans people, of young youth people from the Casa Ruby, which is a LGBT safe haven youth place, safe place for them that's headed by Casa Ruby, a shelter. And so that's what I have done as far as in the community, finding a safe place.
Amanda, Shaquita talked about all of the clubs that are closing right in the district. And so that's sort of making it a little difficult for a drag queen, a female impersonator. Back in 2013, I read this article, Jeremy Peters. It was in the New York Times. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was called The Gayest Place in America.
It was Washington, D.C.
And it was Washington, D.C., right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he writes, I'm just going to read a little bit. He says, but don't take my word for it. Consider what surveys by Gallup and the Census Bureau have found about the gay population in the district. When compared with 50 states, it has the highest percentage of adults who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. At 10%, that is double the percentage in the state that ranks number two, Hawaii, and nearly triple the overall national average of 3.5%. Mm-hmm. So I would think in Washington, D.C., this is the place to be?
Well, I think what you said is true to a point. It is the gayest place as far as numbers. We're here. And for various reasons, a lot of us came from much more oppressive places, very small towns, very rural towns, where there was very overt oppression or just discrimination and a lot of times fear for your safety.
Would that be the case for you?
I'm a native. So, mm-hmm. you know, born and raised in the city, I haven't had the opportunity to compare much. I went away to school. And so in rural Pennsylvania, I experienced some very jarring incidents and run-ins with folk who were not friendly towards the LGBTQ community. And I think that's where the difference comes in, is that we may be the gayest place, but we're not always the gay friendliest place. Mm-hmm. And while we're here and while we may be here in great number, the safe spaces that we've been talking about and the equality that we deserve is not always assumed just because we exist.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It is Gay Pride Weekend. And this is June, sort of, tell me again, Ashley, I lost my spot here on the, June is LGBTQ Pride Month.
It's Pride Month.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. talk to me a little bit about, you know, I just sort of read out about Washington, D.C., but is it different in other parts of the DMV than in the district? Are there different experiences outside of that diamond with the little punch out?
Absolutely. I think what we have here in D.C. is very unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have more LGBTQ places here in D.C. proper than you do in any of the surrounding areas. Even with the fact that we've lost so many of the different clubs in our area, it is definitely a place that has a lot more to be offered. And I think if you go right across the bridge over into Virginia, in Northern Virginia, I think you have one space. In Southern Maryland, I don't know if there's maybe one or two safe places, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's put it safe places, mm-hmm. because in reality, they're not really known to be LGBTQ establishments, but they are establishments that are welcoming. What we find happening in D.C., which Kawita was talking about, is the fact that there's not the space for female impersonators to go and actually do this, the work that they were doing, and that's such a huge part of our community, and it shouldn't be lost. And the unfortunate part is that with some of the larger venues being closed, it's hurting that part of the community. Now, granted, some would say, well, we have a lot more bars here. We have a lot of things, and people are welcoming in all the different bars, those types of places. But there's nothing like having our own spaces. Mm-hmm. And those are the safe spaces. And even into some of the clubs that you can go into now and who've been LGBT in the past, some of them do not even have the safe space like they used to before. So it is definitely, the environment has changed. We have opportunities for growth always.
Shaquita, when folks who may not know what to say, what term to use, as you're still trying to educate those, right, about the LGBTQ community, is everyone in the community gay? Is that the term that should be used? Is lesbian an appropriate term? What is it that those who may not know how to communicate with the LGBTQ community?
Well, nowadays, everyone, like far as myself, I'm a male every day, and I dress in drag, and I don't mind being called a drag queen or a female impersonator, but there are some people who live their lives as transgender women. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be called drag queens. They don't want to be called this or called that or he or she and stuff like that. For me, it's different. When more or less for everyone, it's different, because there are some lesbian women that don't like to be called lesbian or don't like to be called such words as dyke or mm-hmm. butch or a femme or stuff like that. So it's how you identify yourself and what you answer to.
I was going to say, so is the challenge to letting folks know how you want to be addressed?
Well, most of the time, like at my shows and stuff like that, I always joke around with people, because majority of the people that come to my shows are heterosexual females. And I tell them that, you know, we are born as men, so use your pronouns correctly while you're in this space.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Speaking about education, Amanda Tuck, We know a lot of great things are going on, right? And we'll talk about the great things too. But I did talk about sort of the uphill climb, and you all have already mentioned still some of the struggles, housing, relationships with family, church, mm-hmm. Employment. How are those being handled? Do you see improvement there? Where do you see the status? In any of one of those, you can pick off anyone.
Specifically in my professional career in education, I've seen a shift in the visibility of LGBTQ persons in positions of authority and positions of administration. And by doing so, you normalize the fact that we work, we are human, we do just the same things as heterosexual people do. And sometimes it's just as simple as that, being in that space. And I think by doing that, I've noticed a lot more parents coming to terms where my kid has two moms and now it's okay. You know, if my kid is having a back to school night, we're both going. And it's not going to be weird because the principal is a LGBTQ person. And so I think the visibility is increasing in education specifically. And I think also being specific about calling out the subtle oppression and subtle just little quirks that people will say, things that people will say that are inappropriate.
Any examples you can give us?
You know, just, oh, you know, you're going to raise a soft boy if he has two moms, or, you know, how is he going to learn how to be a man if he has two moms? He's going to be, you know, some derogatory term. Mm-hmm. And for someone to not just stand by quietly and say, well, they weren't talking to me, so I'm not going to say anything, but having the courage to say that's inappropriate. You know, we are a safe space as a school. We are a safe space as a housing development, wherever you happen to be. And just say, you know, you might not have been talking to me, or that might not even apply to me, but I'm not comfortable with you disrespecting someone else, and I'm not going to allow it to happen.
Ashley, in 2019, mm-hmm. is it easier to come out, and is easier the right word?
Well, I think that's a very loaded question, first off. Mm-hmm. Reason I say that is because I think that, yes, in some spaces, it is easier to come out. There's much more acceptance in many places and in many communities. But that goes back to looking and understanding the differences or the uniqueness in all of our different Pride celebrations. And as I mentioned earlier, we have the large Capital Pride celebration taking place, which is encompassing all the different Prides when we look at it from the Alliance perspective. But when we really start to look at it and break it down into our individual cultural communities that we have, coming out is still difficult. I say in my community, as a person of color, it's still very difficult. When I came out as African-American male, it was not something that was well received. And honestly speaking, I'm a preacher's kid, so my father, of course, really had some issues in dealing with it. So therefore, we were really kind of having a challenge in making that and trying to work with that. Now, granted, this year, my father will be here for the Pride celebration. This is the first time. And wow. My mother. And I mean, my father's 88 years old and my mother's 81 years old. So
now how did that happen, Ashley? Well, how did your dad get there? And is he there?
I wouldn't say he's there.
That's why I rephrased the question. I said, is he there?
I wouldn't say that he's there, but he loves his children. Okay, and he's a very family-oriented individual. So therefore, he looks at it as coming and supporting his son who's doing something in the community. And that's the one thing that I can say my father's done with all of his kids and grandkids. So I think that is the piece of why he's coming and being supportive of me in this particular time period and in our community. Because he always asks every single conversation, how's everything going on in the community? And he keeps up with the stuff that's taking place. And this administration that we have right now is tearing us apart. But it's not only tearing the LGBTQ plus community down, it's tearing so many other parts of our community outside of being gay or anything else of that nature, but women, other people of color, different ethnic backgrounds. I mean, that's the challenge that we're facing in this community at this point in time, and we need to start dealing with that.
Shaquita, how, in our last minute before we go to break, how important is something like Capital Pride Weekend? And I don't mean just for the LGBTQ community, but just in general. Does it have a special place? Is there a special importance for it?
Yes, I think it's a very special place for it. It's given us a chance, an opportunity, a weekend celebration or a month celebration that we can live and be who we are and walk out in society and the communities and stuff and be comfortable and be safe.
And does it really give you that kind of space, Amanda?
Oh, absolutely. It is a beautiful environment, one that you would hope you could recreate more frequently, where you
or
have
live
people
every day.
Who don't feel comfortable going to work with their hair down or with the color that they love to have, and you just see their full expression when they're walking in the parade or when they're with their families or with their partner, and they may not be able to be with their partner any other time.
And I would think, and we'll talk a little bit about this after the break, it probably can be a jump-off point, give those an opportunity to go, you know, from here on out, I can be who I want to be, especially in a public space. Mm-hmm. Very important conversation, and we're going to continue. The phone lines are open. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR. 202-319-7810. The issues important to the LGBTQ community. That's our conversation. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. It is LGBTQ Pride Month, and it is Capital Pride Weekend right here in the district. A lot of things going on. In a positive nature, on a positive front. And we're also having conversations, and tonight we are doing just that. In studio with us is Ashley Smith, president of Capital Pride Alliance, Amanda Tuck, an LGBTQ activist, and Shaquita Lee, a drag queen and female impersonator and activist as well. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ashley, you wanted to make a point?
Yeah, I wanted to go back to something that was stated earlier. I think the one thing about when you're asking about Pride and the Pride celebration, I think it's very important. For many people, it's their very first time. And we were kind of talking about that a little bit. And that's the other part that really is exciting, is that of the work that we do, and we put a lot of work into making these Pride celebrations throughout the country, is really about the fact that for that little young person, it's their first time. For that older individual, it's their first time. For that middle-aged individual, it's their first time. And that experience is something that, to your point, as far as being able to be in a space that's really safe, I think is very critical to be aware of when it comes to the Pride celebrations.
Yeah. And I think also, piggybacking off of that, as far as awareness, I don't know if you guys have seen it on social media, but the reasons why there doesn't need to be a straight pride is now a thing. Because that's been the pushback a lot. It's like, well, we should have a straight pride then, if you guys are going to have a parade. And I really like a post from on Instagram. It's Deaf Queer, DeafQueer. And they list the 9 reasons why we don't need a straight pride. And some of them, I won't read all of them, but they're super poignant. And the first one is straight cis people aren't being murdered for being straight, quite simply. And so when we say safe space, it's not a moniker, it's not a buzzword. It's literally a space where people who aren't normally safe can be safe. And until the world is our safe space, you have to have Capital Pride. You have to have Black Pride. You have to have these Pride events so that we can build a community, keep us safe.
And in all reality, the same issue comes up right with Black History Month.
Why isn't there
a White History Month? So in any marginalized community, when you have a specific month, you're probably going to have that issue. Are there things, and I'll just open this up to all three, that should be done that are not being done, right, to widen that safe space for the LGBTQ community?
There's absolutely things that should be done. It's a matter, first off, I think that we as a community have to become more and more united in order for us to really move forth. I think that if we were able to become more and more united, we would be able to do things that have never been done in this country before. And we have so many unique but also really creative ideals that flow from the LGBTQ plus community that you'd just be amazed. And I think that if all of those, and those people who are in hiding, who are afraid to come out and really just truly come out and accept themselves and understand that, hey, we can be who we are truly in this space, we could do wonders in this country. And I think that that's the space that we kind of have to look at. So are there things? There's absolutely things. But the one thing that I would highly suggest is come out and be present. Be in the space with us. Come to the parade. Come to the festivals. Enjoy yourself. Meet somebody who you've never met before. So therefore, you build those relationships. That's what it's all about. Because this, for me, I've been here now, as I said earlier, 12 years. And for me, it's about my chosen family that's here. Honestly speaking, I don't have any immediate blood family here, so my chosen family is the family that I have here. And that's the most important thing. And the only space that I was able to make that happen was within this community.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Let's go to the phone lines now. And our caller, TQ, is on the line. GQ, I'm sorry. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
I'm gay. And I'm gay conservative. That's how I describe myself. I'm 60 years old. So I come from an era where it was really taboo to be gay. and it is still taboo in the black community. White gays have a better chance of acceptance among their family and everything. And I think the problem that gays are having, especially African Americans, is because the African American gays, or shall I say black gays, we're trying to take on what the white gays are doing. And this is why the backlash is there. We're trying to force our homosexuality onto the heterosexual community. Well, this country is mostly a heterosexual society. It's going to always be a backlash. That's in any society where the majority may be a certain group.
Let the guests address that. All three of you identify as African Americans?
Yes.
Right? Yes.
So GQ is saying that there's just a whole different ball game for African Americans who are in part of the LGBTQ community. Is he correct?
He is correct.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no reason to believe that he's not correct. The reality is that as much as there is the differences, there's also a lot of things that we have in common. And I think that, and I respect where he's coming from, and he came from a different era than I've come in, but I think that there's the space that we can merge some of the items that are happening that we have from the history that has happened in our community to some of the things that we're seeing in maybe the secular community, as we call it today, and really kind of merge, and we can still do the same types of celebrations and have the same elements and being able to be proud and living authentically. We don't have to put ourselves back into a closet anymore than we used to. But to that point, many people do feel that we've come so far, but have so far to go. So therefore, it's easier to go back into the closet versus coming out.
Absolutely. I also think you touched on something as far as the reason why there is a Black History Month and not a White History Month. The system of oppression that we experience as Black people separate from gay or straight. If you're straight, you also, as a Black person, were oppressed. And so we carry that into our LGBTQ community. And you see people who, I'm lesbian, but at least I'm not trans. Or I'm a gay man, but I don't wear dresses. And we divide ourselves. We attack ourselves. We oppress ourselves. And I think until we see the humanity in each of us, we're going to take two steps forward, one step back. We're going to keep shooting ourselves in the foot, or however you want to describe it. I think we have to check our own biases. A lot of people think because they're a minority, there's no way that they can have biases. Like, look, I'm the one being oppressed. But you'd be surprised your knee-jerk reaction when you see someone who doesn't look like you, who doesn't come from where you come from, who doesn't share your same story. You assume a lot about people. You put them in boxes. That's the way our mind works. I have to figure out how to interact with you, so I put you in a box. And I think if we would just be honest with ourselves to say, hey, when I first met you, I assumed this about you. Is this true or not? And if it's not true, my apologies, and how can I move forward in your truth? And I think that would be a huge step to make sure that we are treating one another the way we want to be treated. You know, it's cliche, but it's really the barrier that keeps us from rising together as a community.
Do you see differences in terms of how men, right, who are part of the LGBTQ community are treated, and those who are female? Is there a difference in how you deal with genders? How they're being dealt with? If someone is a lesbian, are they looked at differently? Is there wait a minute, if she's really feminine but a lesbian, that's all right. If he's a male but very effeminate, I don't know, but if he doesn't show it that much, maybe he's more acceptable. Is that an issue? Is that real? Shaquita, you've been silent. You've got the camera on you.
Well, like I was saying earlier, it all depends on how you identify yourself.
Right.
And the way people look at you and how you are being accepted in society. For me, like the young GQ was saying earlier, he's back from the old school days. I am too. And it's more or less of, I was afraid or ashamed to walk out my front door or to go in any store or restaurant dressed in drag or being a drag queen. And now since society has accepted so much, now it's on national television and RuPaul's Drag Race has made it known world. worldwide mm-hmm. that people are more accepting, and they look at drag queens and female impersonators and transgender people differently now because they was like, oh, I didn't know it was like that, or I didn't know it was going to be like that or something like that.
So popular culture
has changed.
Makes a difference.
Yes, mm-hmm. very much so. And more or less nowadays, is the young kids, they don't even care about how you live the life or what are you this or that. Because I go to like several different high schools to speak to the young youth that's gay or lesbian. When I was in high school, it wasn't even heard of. Mm-hmm. And that was back in 1984. Mm-hmm. And now you walk down the halls, you see kids holding girls' hands, boys holding boys' hands. Oh, the boys is over this, they're wearing this, they're wearing dresses. And nobody says anything. It's the families, the parents, the ones who have the
hang-ups.
On life, because kids nowadays, like I just did a show at the Kennedy Center yesterday, and it was so many kids there, and they was like, oh my god, how excited, stuff like that. And the parents was like looking at the kids like, oh, you like this, you don't mind, you don't care. Mm-hmm. So that was the beauty and joy of it as well. And that's just like with the Pride celebrations, all the heterosexual people to come out, you see so many people with babies and kids and stuff like that, and the kids is enjoying life, having a good time, partying, having a great time. It's the parents is like got problems with it. Mm-hmm. Or the older people.
It's the pieces of what is taught. We teach in our community, in the world, not just in LGBTQ, we teach hatred more so than we teach positivity.
Right.
And we are so focused on what our image, what we look like, who are we staying up with the Joneses, are we not, whatever the case may be. The reality is that we need to be able to live authentically. And now the youth, I feel, of today are able to live more authentically than we've ever been able to live, because I know, similar to what you're talking about, I never ever thought about coming out in high school. I didn't come out until I was in my early 30s. And
well, high school is just a difficult place
for everybody.
Madness.
It is. So therefore, I think that it is so true.
But on top of that, you know, right. not to diminish your point, on top of that, it makes it even exponentially more difficult.
And I think GQ, I believe is his name, to his point, though, also too, within the African-American community specifically, the church plays a huge role in the coming out process. And yes. I think that we may placate that, but the church has played a huge role in that and has, in many ways, has divided our communities on this particular topic.
And so when has played a role, you mean in folks not wanting to come out?
Absolutely. The church is a huge platform for the Black community. You literally find out what your community believes in, who we're voting for, how we feel about this thing in the neighborhood. and so when you come into church and there's an unspoken rule of what you can wear, what you can't wear, who sits where, who doesn't sit there, you know, something as simple as whose seat is whose, those type of things get into something that I've seen as passing privilege. And so when you were talking about more effeminate men and more masculine presenting women, you don't look normal, quote unquote. And so thinking about the older generation is like, I can't really look away from my daughter who's wearing slacks and a jacket like her father, versus mm-hmm. if you like a girl but you come to church in a dress and, you know, you look just like mom, I don't have to explain anything. Nobody's gonna look twice. Nobody's gonna ask questions. If my son all of a sudden wants to paint his fingernails, now I'm getting looks. Now people are asking me questions, versus if he looks just like the other guys, but he just happens to like men, we can keep that closeted. We can keep that, you know, under wraps.
Not offending anyone.
Not offending, not bringing attention. And so many of us in our community have gotten used to being invisible. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize what it did to our spirit, because that's
not normal. Have you all experienced that?
Absolutely. Yes. That's the reason why it's taken a long time for many of us to ever come out, because we felt that we had to be in that closet. We felt that we were, the theme this year for Pride this year here in D.C. is shout. And we're talking about the fact that we've been shunned for such a long time, and we were placed in that closet and we could not do things. And when you go back to Stonewall 50, which we're celebrating this year, mm-hmm. when we go back to that time period, that's what we're talking about. All the things that took place during that time to now, what we've had to go through, the struggle, the fight, and those lives, the Marsha P. Johnson, the Sylvias, people of color who were trans, and people who were out there leading the fight for the LGBTQ community, and many people don't know that part of the history. And so I think that it's very important for us to understand from whence we've come to where we're going to go. But the church has always played a very pivotal role in everything that we've talked about.
And Ashley made reference to Stonewall. That was a gay club in Greenwich Village in New York City, mm-hmm. 1969. That is police correct. Came in there, roughed up folks.
Right.
Just today, the police commissioner from New York City apologized to the LGBTQ community for that, and many said that was a jump-off point in terms of gay men and women, lesbian men and women, correct me because I may be off.
You're fine.
Sort of stepping out there and saying, wait a minute, we have rights, we need to push back. And it took New York City a long time to issue that apology. The previous police commissioner said, well, we're beyond that, and I don't think we sort of need any apologies. Is an apology like that important?
I think it's important as far as just acknowledging the true history. I think you can placate things as far as Stonewall a lot of times is described as a parade or something that they were celebrating, or they're just coming out and saying, no, they rose up against police brutality. They got tired. They were sick of being mistreated. They were sick of being violated. They got to a breaking point. And going back to the point about being invisible, a lot of times being invisible hurts, but it's safe. You don't want to hide who you are, but this is what's going to keep me alive.
That's
or this is
right.
what's
going to
keep me from being homeless. Our youth, I'm gay. And probably everybody knows it, but as long as I don't say it, I get to come home and go to sleep in my parents' bed and parents' house.
And that's why we are talking about those issues tonight. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. And tonight we are focusing on the LGBTQ community, the issues that they are dealing with, Capital Pride Weekend, LGBTQ Pride Month. That's a lot of letters to try to get down. But
and you forgot the plus at the end.
Is there a plus?
It's always something.
Okay. And so that's what we're focusing on tonight, the issues surrounding the community and things that are happening specifically this weekend. Joining us in studio tonight is Amanda Tuck. She's an LGBTQ activist. And Shaquita Lee, she's a drag queen, female impersonator, and I will say activist as well. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Amanda, we've talked about the things, in our first 35, 40 minutes that the LGBTQ community is dealing with, but you were saying during the break that other folks can be an ally to that community. Tell me what you mean by that.
Just as far as we work so hard to create safe spaces, because it's not assumed that every space is accepting of who we are. And so as a straight cisgendered person, where just about every space, it's assumed that you can walk in and not be attacked for who you are, using that same voice to protect those who are more vulnerable. And so if you walk in and no one's questioning the way you dress, no one's questioning your right to be in a space, and yet you look over and you see someone being harassed because of the way they choose to dress, the way they choose to wear their hair, using your voice to say, hey, leave them alone. It's not okay. You know, they're not bothering anybody. The way we teach our kids to protect others from bullies, the same sentiment almost applies as adults. It's like we're being bullied in the LGBTQ community, and those outside of the community have the voice to say, hey, I see that. I don't agree with that. It's not okay. And it's not even that you are endorsing a lifestyle, because again, I understand the church's stance on it. But if you believe that humans should be treated fairly, and you see a human being treated unfairly, there's no slight against your faith to say, hey, stop treating that other human unfairly.
Shaquita Lee, when did you know you were gay?
Well, I'll say about my 10th grade of high school, I kind of figured it, but I'm from the Bible Belt, so, you know, down south. So it's unheard. Well, you know, you always have like your gay choir directors or the person in churches that's like that, but I went through high school, my whole years of high school, and because I played sports. I played football, basketball, track, tennis, but I also did cheerleading. And so it was like, okay, well, he's good at football, he's good at basketball, but then he's cheerleading, he's good at that. So, you know, I didn't go through, that was one thing I was blessed with, not going through high school years of being called gay or this or that or whatever like that.
Did you feel like being an athlete kind of helped shield you from any kind of abuse that might come your way? Were you aware of it, conscious of it?
I wasn't too much aware of it. And, you know, your friends and stuff that you have, you know you and stuff like that. And you know, where I'm from is mostly all your cousins and your relatives that you go to school with. So you still, you know, you don't have to go through all that. And I didn't really come out until I moved to D.C. in 1984, the summer of 1984 when I came to D.C. And I really didn't come out then, but it was like in a situation where I went to a gay club. It was a club here that used to be called Trax. And I went there.
Where Nationals Park is.
National Park is. And I was like, a friend of mine took me. He was like, I said, this is pretty cool. And I said, all these people are gay. And that, you know, that's the first time I experienced gay people at one time. He said, well, everybody here is not gay because, you know, you got Howard University's kids here on Wednesday nights.
People knew that club. I mean, I grew up in the area. And so people knew that that club was, okay, certain
they
nights.
They knew it was a gay club. But
the music was, I guess, certain nights.
Everybody, right. And so that's made it easy for me because then I was like, okay. It's, you know, I thought I was, you know, back then I thought I was the only person. I was like, I'm feeling this way. I'm gay and stuff like that. And nobody else around in my town is like this. Then I come to a city where I'm like, wow. So it was like, it was an eye opener.
Amanda, you brought up and you and Shaquita were talking to during the break about, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you said you put something up on the website of one of your organizations or about a prom.
The hashtag on social media, and they were just highlighting beautiful pictures of high school seniors going to prom as their authentic selves. And so lesbians going to prom together, gay boys going to prom dressed exactly how they wanted to dress, capes, I mean, the most beautiful outfits. And me and my peers looking jokingly, but kind of jealous, like, man, I wish I could get a do-over. And just thinking about the beautiful feeling to, because prom is a celebration. It's a culmination. You're graduating high school. It's a huge milestone. And so many of my peers had to experience that milestone through a heteronormative lens to make our parents happy, to not raise eyebrows, to not draw questions. And now this generation is able to go with who they love, with who they want to be with, and as comfortable as they feel. And I think it's amazing. I think it's a beautiful thing.
And, Shaquita, and also the past 3 years here lately in D.C. area, they've been having like gay proms and stuff for people who didn't get a chance to go to their prom the way they wanted to and stuff like that. So I think that's a great thing and positive thing in the community as well they've been doing.
And you went to your prom.
I went to my 11th grade prom. I went by myself. Then my 12th grade prom, I went with my cousin.
And cousin knew?
Everybody knew that I was, you know.
But you wanted to be there.
I wanted to be there. And, well, you know, I went as Jerry, you know, suit and tie, took pictures and all that good stuff and everything like that. But I was happy but wasn't comfortable.
Right. Living that sort of double life, that double consciousness, W.B. Du Bois.
Who's going to say what? Who's going to say this? And stuff like that.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We still have a few moments left, just a great conversation. I did, before we leave out, want to talk a little about politics, you know, whether it's local or national. Presidential election, we're in the midst of it now, right? One, do you see issues yet? Or politicians addressing issues that are important to the LGBTQ community, part one. Part two, and maybe more importantly, what do you think of Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, openly gay man, running for president and getting a lot of positive press?
I think it's a great, you know, chance for to once again put the LGBTQ community on the map as far as being visible and being accepted. And I think he's taken a huge step. And the way life is right now, I think it's going to be, he'd be in a great position for it. But there's so many people running that, you know, who are you going to vote for?
But isn't that interesting, though, that he is standing out? Now, if you watch him, he can talk about any policy, right? But Amanda, do you think part of the draw, too, is kind of like, let me look over here. Who, a what, a how, and this guy?
Absolutely.
A curiosity
Absolutely.
Factor?
Representation matters. And we think about Barack Obama setting the precedent for little black and brown boys and girls to believe that's an option for me. I could be president. Whereas before, black and brown boys never even saw themselves or someone that looked like them. And so for our LGBTQ youth, they're looking and they're seeing, wow, that person looks like me. They're representing a part of who I am. And so maybe I could be president. So representation matters. And I think that's, if nothing else, that's what he's going to be able to do for our community, to show the youth, to show others who are, you know, maybe even still closeted, that your voice matters. You can stand up. You can be proud of who you are. I think that's super important. As far as the issues you mentioned before, what's happening in the South around women's health and reproduction and abortion is it is disheartening. It's overwhelming to think about. And just to speak specifically to our trans brothers and sisters and think about their bodies, mm-hmm. and their bodies being policed, or the policies around their bodies. They have no say in what they choose to do with their bodies. I think there's something that we have to become more vocal about. You hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm not into politics. You don't realize it, but you are. You know, every part of your life is impacted. They're voting on every part of your life, where you live, where you're allowed to go to school, where you're allowed to work, you know, what your kids are going to have access to. And I think we just have to become more informed about who's making these decisions for us and who do we want to make these decisions for us.
Now, Amanda, do you believe, if folks are listening to you, right,
mm-hmm.
and they hear Amanda Tuck, a lesbian woman, right,
mm-hmm.
talking about reproductive issues, speaking from an LGBTQ platform, and they're like, that community is concerned about that?
Right.
Do you get that? Like, oh, well, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess that kind of can affect you too.
Exactly. I mean, it's the privilege of being a heterosexual. If I was a straight woman, mm-hmm. married to a man, no one would question my desire to have children.
Or
I would
your
not. Or, right. And so it is an issue. And I think it's one of those things going back to awareness, as far as like, you don't have to think about it as a straight person. I'm not faulting you for that. But because you don't have to think about it doesn't mean it's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And to be an ally, you're sensitive to the fact that I do have to think about it because I'm not a straight person.
All right. I want to make sure we have folks, if they want to contact you, Shaquita, I know you've got a business that is just
You can visit me at my pop-up restaurant at Quita's Palace at the Chateau Remix, 3439 Benning Road, Northeast D.C. Every Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 3, go to eventbrite.com to purchase your tickets. And right now for the month of June, because it's Gay Pride, you can go to Groupon and get discount tickets for $25 on Groupon.
All right. And Shaquita didn't have anything written in front. You just rattle all that off. And Amanda, how about yourself? How can folks find you or any sites you think folks can go to get more information about the LGBTQ community?
Well, me personally, I'm on Instagram. I am Tuck7. I am Tuck the number 7. I post a lot about family, just important things in our community. I'm an educator by trade, so you'll see a lot about education, about behavior health, and just the LGBTQ community, how that impacts that. You'll find me on Facebook. I'm probably the only Black Amanda, so it won't be hard to find me. But I really just like to put myself into communities where they're speaking up on what's important for us.
Well, thank you all so much for
thank
an important
so
conversation. Enjoy the great weekend I'm sure will be happening here in the district. I'll look for you on TV because I think I'll see you both somewhere.
Yes, I'll be in the parade.
I know you will.
Right.
That's the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, June 6th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The Connection is next. Have a great night.